Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 32-17 loss in Detroit, but first I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America, and that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. And Steve Bono joins us as we talk about the 49ers' loss in Detroit. And Steve, now the 49ers at 4-11. And boy, this time they start out well. They haven't done that all year. Where in the first quarter, they actually scored a touchdown. They hadn't done that all season. But too many mistakes in this game, you know, especially all those offsides penalties, you know, neutral zone infractions and all that. And then the offense didn't do much in the second half.
Yeah, it was really fun to see watch them, you know, go 80 yards and whatever, I think it was 11 plays, score a touchdown. I mean, it was such a good drive. I was like, okay, on the road, you know, it came out strong, you know, prepared, blah, blah, blah. And then great first half, and they had some turkey at halftime, and it got tryptophan. And fell asleep.
Yeah, I mean, I thought one of the plays that really hurt them was that sack that Gabbert took, and he fumbled, and the Lions had the ball at the 1 yard line, and they just ran it in, and that really changed the whole momentum of the game in the second quarter.
Yeah, it did. I would totally agree. Totally changed the game right there. Unfortunately, it kept reminding me of of the UCLA Nebraska game on Saturday night that we went to. It was the exact same thing. UCLA came out, you know, scored 21 points in the first half and went into halftime and fell asleep and came out and just did nothing. You know, anyway, that's it. I was like, oh my God, please no. Like you said, too many mistakes, and the Lions had some scouting report on you know, a defensive line jumping off sides, kind of kudos to Stafford for it's kind of nice to see somebody using the snap count again. You don't see it much these days. It's a little harder to do out of the shotgun.
Well, I know the 49ers, they were complaining that the center was moving the ball, though, Travis Swanson. I don't know if he was.
That's all part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
As Mike Webster, or it might have been Tim Grunhardt, who I played with in Kansas City, used to say, hey, part of it's squeezing the ball, you know, they're watching my hand, too. I was like, heck yeah.
Well, to me, it looked like the 49ers were antsy. I mean, they brought a lot of blitzes, which was good, but it looked like a lot of their defensive players were antsy to try to just jump it, you know, and get across there and blitz. And you got to be patient. And, I mean, it does come down to discipline. Even Jim Tomsula talked about that. And here we are in week 16, and there just wasn't enough discipline, I guess.
Yeah, I don't remember how many there were, how many offsides, but there had to be at least a half dozen, maybe. I don't know, but I don't know what it was. I mean, they hadn't really done that all season. Yeah, okay, maybe they've had a few neutral zone infractions where they actually lined up in the neutral zone, but I don't remember them. Yeah, obviously they've done it during the season. It's a lot of plays that. But I don't remember them having an issue like this at all this season.
No,
I don't know what it was.
They had seven offsides and neutral zone infractions. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's 35 yards right there. So, I don't know what that was. I mean, yeah, maybe they thought, okay, we can, you know, we can play quicker on turf in the dome, which, yes, is true, but, I mean, you don't have to jump the gun because you're going to be quicker already.
Yeah, I mean, and tackling was also a problem again. We've said that a number of times this year where they just missed tackles. And then the thing with the second half was that all of a sudden Calvin Johnson came alive. They pretty much held him under wraps in the first half, and then all of a sudden he was Calvin Johnson again. He's pretty tough to stop.
Yeah, he is. When they're targeting him, he's just size-wise, he's hard to stop for anybody.
No doubt about that.
They hadn't really maybe targeted him a couple times in the first half, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and I think he only had one catch in the first half.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, I mean, he totally came alive in the second half.
And Stafford ends up having a pretty good day, 29 of 37, 301 yards, two touchdowns.
Yeah, that was something. That's a great day at the office.
Yeah, it was. Well, Gabbert wasn't bad. I mean, still the third downs were a problem. They were 1 for 9. But Gabbert, he made some pretty good throws in the first half. I mean, that Torrey Smith touchdown, that was a strike. And how about that pass that
terrific.
The one that he laid into Bruce Ellington, that wasn't a touchdown, but that was just a beautiful pass that he laid in there.
Yeah. I thought Blaine played pretty well. I mean, yeah, I read some stuff that they're, but you know, we're saying he was checking down in the second half, checking down. But I mean, obviously that's what they were giving him, and so he was taking it. But and statistically, he was good. They didn't convert on third down, but they got themselves in third and long again, though. They didn't run the ball as well in the second half. That was the bottom line.
Not at all. Yeah, you look at it. The first half, they had 122 yards rushing on 20 carries. And Dwan Harris was great. I mean, in the game, he ended up with 73 yards, 6.6 rushing average. But the second half, they had 3 carries minus 1 yard. I mean, I guess when you fall behind, you're not going to rush as much. That affects it, right?
Right, right. Totally does. And then again, you when you're not running the ball effectively, you maybe hit one out of two passes on first and second down, and now all of a sudden you're in third and long again. Or again, there were penalties offensively a couple times. You know, first and 15, you know, first and 20. Those are hard to make up for.
Yeah, they always seem to be having these bad penalties. And the other thing, you know, we've talked about how a lot of times the 49ers are a yard short trying to get a first down. And taking some of the blame was Jared Hayne, who actually made his first start, you know, the rookie from Australia.
Yep.
But he really got some criticism from Jim Tomsula on that 4th and 3 play where he only went 2 yards on the route. And Jim Tomsula, you know, pretty much ripped him, said that he's got to run that route to the sticks, and it didn't happen. I mean, he's still learning the game.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, that is his fault, but he, in my mind, yeah, he's still learning. He's still learning the game, and you know, little things like that. He's played this for 1 year now, basically,
right?
And played football. I mean, other guys have, you know, done it for, you know, somebody that's 25 years old has been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah, and there's got to be a sense of where the first down marker is.
Marker is.
Yeah, that takes a while to learn that. If you're a rugby player, you're not used to looking for that.
No, exactly. There are no down and distance markers.
No.
So, he's got to learn that. Unfortunately, it came in a critical situation, and that's usually when it shows up. But I thought he ran the ball pretty well, and I thought Harris ran the ball really well. He was quick. He got to the holes fast.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great game. They've been picking up some guys, you know, off the practice squad. You know, journeymen have been around. We saw with Drone and now Harris. It's amazing how some of these guys didn't have jobs.
I know. And Harris, they showed a stat that he was on like 5 teams this year.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I know. I mean, but they're obviously, with the situation they're in, they're trying to figure out who can play and, who's going to be invited to camp next year, who's going to be offered a contract. I mean, so I think that's part of it. And the offensive line played, I thought they played terrific in the first half. I mean, they ran the ball really well.
They did. And then, I mean, all of a sudden, the second half, they don't score. They only get 57 yards. And Anquan Boldin said, I don't know what happened. He didn't even know what to say about it. I don't know what happened. It's so frustrating.
Well, they just kind of kept going three and out. I mean, that was the problem. There were no sustained drives.
Not at all. Yeah, too many three and outs. And,
way too many.
Way too many. With Boldin, I guess you kind of learn about some players, too, when you're in a situation like this, a losing year. And there was one play where he made a catch, and he fought so hard to get extra yardage. You would think this game was determining, a playoff or something like that,
right,
the way he
right.
plays. And I know he didn't right. do anything in the second half, but he ended up with 1,000 catches now in his career when he made the first catch of the day. Just talk a little bit about his career, because he's been great. I mean, anywhere that he's been, Cardinals, Ravens, 49ers.
Yeah, he's been terrific. You know, you think back to he and Larry Fitzgerald on the Cardinals, with maybe even just a year or two ahead of Kurt Warner getting there. Trying to think of who might have been their quarterback when they were rookies, but I know it wasn't Kurt. But
question. Yeah, I can't remember that one.
He was. You were learning about him then, that he was a good receiver, and he had that brutal face injury where he got hit in the end zone right in the face by a helmet. Early in his career, maybe third or fourth year, and then he goes and torches us in the Super Bowl. I mean, he was spectacular in the Super Bowl for Baltimore. He's had a wonderful career, and he's a guy that I'm sure if you went back and looked at scouting reports, people probably said, probably doesn't have the raw speed, it doesn't have this, doesn't have that. But he's a guy that obviously knows how to run routes, how to catch the ball, and how to get himself open.
Yeah.
So, he's had a terrific career.
Well, he's only the 13th player with 1,000 catches, so that puts him in select company.
that's some serious company. I mean, I don't know if I could name all of those 13, but a few names, obviously the obvious ones have flashed through my head. Those are some pretty damn good receivers, the ones that flash through my head.
Well, what kind of a luxury is it for a quarterback? You mentioned the scouting report. He's not the fastest guy around, but he's going to find a way to get open, and then when he catches the ball, he gets extra yardage. So, I mean, if you're looking at a few different receivers on a play and you've got your option, he's so reliable. I would think that more often than not, you're thinking about him.
Absolutely. Well, he's a security blanket, like a tight end would be a good tight end, in that he's usually in the middle of the field. He's not necessarily the guy that's running those out routes and is out on the outer part of the field. He's usually in the center of it. So he's easier to find. To be able to have someone like him in the slot, that's your guy. You're looking for him on third down. I can guarantee you that. But what came to mind when you asked about having receivers like that a luxury is a flashback to last night and AJ McCarron. I've always thought he threw the ball pretty well, and I think he's a pretty good quarterback. But man, to have those receivers that he has, they make him look really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that was some game with the Broncos and Bengals, by the way. But
it really was. But to that point that Anquan can make you look really good as a quarterback.
Yeah, and I just like the way he was playing in a game that basically is meaningless. But no games are meaningless when you think about your future. There's a lot on the line. I mean, how much anxiety do you think there is for this team and coaching staff and ownership? Because with week 17, we all know about, Black Monday right after that. Yeah. And here it is. It's approaching. There's a lot going on with this team.
There's a lot of anxiety, unfortunately, for all those above that you just mentioned. Guys are playing for somewhere else. they're you know, trying to put some good plays on film. And it's unfortunate that it's turned out this way. But you know, I think that you know, if I looked back to what I probably said in the beginning, what you and I talked about, okay, if it could be, obviously you need to be 10-6 to get in the playoffs. If they're 8-8, I would say they had a pretty good year. If they're 6-10, then you say, okay, we're a few players, handful of players away from being 10-6. But there's some things that, I mean, the whole Kaepernick thing threw a total monkey wrench into it. He was the one constant that they were looking at, and you know, that imploded. And next thing you know, you're 4-11 right now.
Yeah, and I mean, just the team is not playing well lately, losing 3 in a row, and it's not looking great. I mean, you talked about it last week with Jim Tomsula and the ownership kind of sticking its neck out when they hired him, but there are some rumors swirling around about him and his job, and even Mike Holmgren being interested. There was one report out there about Mike Holmgren. I don't know that he's interested, because I mean, it seems like he's kind of past his time as far as being a coach, but I guess you never know, right?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Don't let anything in the NFL surprise you. I mean, Mike's a great guy. He knows the game. He knows people. I know one thing. He wouldn't come back and do it unless he had full control. That much I do know.
Yeah, that's what he had in Seattle.
Yeah. You know, obviously there are going to be some changes where they are. I don't know. And if it is the general manager change, then unfortunately a lot of people below that level are gone too. I mean, that's just what happens. You know, everybody below that level that changes, a lot of times gets let go. So
yeah,
there's a lot of anxiety right now. I know that.
Speaking of anxiety, as far as another team, the Denver Broncos, I mean, they're happy because now they're in the playoffs. Brock Osweiler playing pretty well. But the whole situation with Peyton Manning, what do you think about the way that was handled and the report that came out about HGH being delivered to his wife, and he denies it? And, you know, it's only one news entity, I think, that's reporting it, Al Jazeera, and that's it. But everybody else just wondering about this story now.
Yeah, gosh, you know, I for Peyton's sake, I hope that's not the case. That's been a bizarre, I mean, somewhat bizarre, not that I've followed it that closely. Osweiler's played well. Peyton, hurt or not hurt, seemed to be struggling, you know, just with arm strength you know, I can understand why Osweiler's still playing. He's played well, and it's not making a lot of mistakes, which is good. It's not hurting them. He's helping them, and I mean, I understand Peyton's side of it too. I mean, he's been obviously a spectacular player in this league for however many years it is now, 16 or 17, and I think that he wants more of those career records, and it's a hard thing to give up.
Yeah,
trust me. I mean, it's a hard thing to say that, you know, I'm finished.
It is. I mean, you look throughout history. I mean, Joe Montana ended up going to the Chiefs, or Joe Namath ended up with the Rams, or Johnny Unitas. Yeah. What wasn't he with San Diego? I think at the end of his career. I mean, all these great quarterbacks didn't finish where they started, and Peyton was so great even just a couple of years ago. I mean, it's hard to believe that it would just be over at this point. I don't know.
Yeah. It is hard to believe, but unfortunately, for most, that's the way it happens. Most don't get to do it you know, pull a John Elway and retire after winning two Super Bowls in a row.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. that's the way to go out.
How many guys that I know, you know, one of hundreds.
Right. He was just very fortunate to have that opportunity at the end. The last game of the regular season here, 49ers and Rams, and the Rams actually, I mean, they just beat the Seahawks. They swept Seattle. They're 7-8. I mean, this division, you know, going forward, think about how difficult it's going to be to pass teams like Arizona. They're one of the best teams in the NFL. Seattle, they were really hot before that loss. And now the Rams with Todd Gurley, I mean, this guy's a really good running back. He had a big game against the 49ers last time.
Running the ball well. And unfortunately, a spot where the 49ers have struggled some this year, stopping the run. So not going to be an easy task. Hopefully the Niners can offensively, especially, can put together two halves like last week's first half.
Right. And really try to discover what they have. I mean, I guess they've been doing that the last few weeks, but this is the last chance here for everybody.
I would agree. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely guys playing for their careers.
And you got Navarro Bowman and Joe Staley are headed to the Pro Bowl, and well-deserved. Navarro Bowman, I don't know that anybody expected him to be a Pro Bowler after that injury.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. He's had a terrific year, and even he's saying, you know, I'm still not 100%, and probably will never be 100% of what he was, but still a really good player.
Absolutely, yeah. I just had a great year. Well, Steve, happy holidays. Happy New Year. We'll talk just after.
Thank you, you too.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that St. Louis game next Tuesday. Appreciate it.
Sounds good.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono, and we'll catch up with him again next Tuesday after the 49ers game at home against the Rams. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to San Francisco 49ers Extra.